It's another exciting trip back to the crash site. It's Halloween 2021. Oh. And I find that I stay awake a whole lot better talking than I do just listening to something. And, well, so here I am. I'm still coughing a little bit. I try to assure people that everything's going to be okay. We're all going to be exposed to all this stuff. The vast majority of us have been. I don't know what I got was COVID-19, but regardless, got to behave like it was. Certainly found out that unless I'm actually off for work, I want to be at work. This weird situation of working from home. I don't know if some people enjoy that. I really don't. Very much prefer to keep those parts of my life very separate. It works from the standpoint of doing classified work. Much better for me just to keep an absolute total separation of one from the other. You know, I don't talk about work at home. While I'm at work, I don't talk much about home. Not that it's a problem, but I just don't. So there's that. Oh, well, originally got back from Haiti in one piece, no problems. There have been some kidnappings, but none to have to do with her group. Which is great. You know, they're all kind of interesting, kind of hippie Rastafarians to begin with. So, it really, I don't think they come off as good, kidnapping victims, honestly. That's okay, she's back, trying to make the arrangements to go ahead and go on to South Korea here shortly. However, travel's getting weird. And it's not so much, I think, from, you know, COVID making travel difficult. It really, the airlines are canceling flights left and right. There's some rumors that it might be because of not having enough crews to take care of the need. You know, a whole lot of people are saying, I ain't taking that darn jab. And companies can say all day long, well, then you're fired, or, you know, whatever. You can't work. It's coming to the point to where many, many businesses are finding it impossible to get enough staff to keep things going. Not that there aren't jobs available. There's jobs everywhere. Even an exciting toucan carry. Everybody's got or is accepting applications. So I think it's kind of the same with the airlines, except they really don't want to say that they're having staffing problems. Those are the kind of circumstances that make it so that people lose confidence in you. So there's every chance that there's just going to be less flying altogether. Personally, it works okay for me. I don't fly much at all. Not terribly interested. Anyway. And everybody who's trying to put in mandates, we're getting closer and closer and closer to deadlines, and it's like, well, even my organization, been a handful that quit. Of course, nobody's saying why they quit. They just are moving on, doing something else. And it's like, so, but isn't it convenient that it's during this particular time? Oh, this one's funny. Somebody has hit the dirt on the side of the tractor trailer next to me, and as I'm passing, there's a couple of things where it says "Let's go, Brandon," which is kind of a euphemism for F you, Biden. One the news media can't find an intelligent way not to display. trying to remind you, 2015. Trump was considered to be such a joke, such a bombastic joke. He got so much free airtime from the news media that just couldn't keep their cameras off the guy because he was so, you know, people wanted to hear about what Trump was going on about. And the news media didn't see the immediate threat because the Democratic Party didn't see the immediate threat. They were all really sure that Hillary Clinton would win by a landslide. Especially after Trump won the primaries. The Republican Party was just in turmoil. How did this guy do this? Well, people were all amazed. You go, you guys forget that he actually did a couple of cycles as a presidential candidate, trying to get nominated, and nobody would do it, you know, because they just didn't take him seriously. And this next time, I guess he had figured out what he was about. He had his messages good and ready, and he won. Everybody was stunned. The funny thing is, it looks like Trump is gonna go again in 2024. That's a long way off still. 3 years off. But he's polling quite well. Better now than he ever did before, the last time he won the presidency. He's got new groups who prefer him. The Democrats are practically handing it to him for all of the progressivism isn't doing very well to begin with. And they're doing things. Green New Deal ideas that you can only put in place when everything's going really well and the economy's doing really great and everybody feels like they can do some pie-in-the-sky stuff. Try and get every supposed problem we have to be tied together somehow. COVID tied to climate change, which was really soft to begin with. As something that was motivating voters. It's really it's still quite esoteric. And when people go, yeah, it might be getting warmer, and you go, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world, and you go, I don't see it. What I can tell you is it rained more in my part of the world, and I had a bumper crop of tomatoes. So far. Climate change is working for me. I can't depend on that going forward. Read enough prophecy to know that there's going to be famines and pestilence and stuff like that. Shouldn't get too excited at all. Up the pumpkins. I don't really care about the pumpkins. But Lisa tried to do cantaloupe, and I mean the cantaloupe never even got a good start before the stink bugs just ate them alive. Oh. Well, time of year. The fact that I'm coughing a lot just kind of deadens it, but just about ready to switch over to standard time again. Gonna happen next Sunday, 7 days from now. And sun's already down, so I'm not being blinded, thank you. Of course, I got off a little bit late today. Not terribly so. Kind of tempting to drive through Albuquerque, or at least get closer to Albuquerque before I switch off. The back road I often take is the one between I-40 and Encino. Because it lets me stay going at 75, 80 miles an hour for a little bit longer. Which makes up for some time. Otherwise, I get an extra hour going at only 65. And that's, it's kind of tough. Having a shower put in our bathroom. Guys are doing it, say it's gonna cost about $10,000. And I'm like, I was up for part of the night coming up with threatening things to say that I thought might stick. But my biggest thing is, dude, are you going to give us some kind of warranty on your work and on the materials you're putting in on this thing? If it starts having problems almost immediately, you're going to come back and you're going to make it right. So we'll see what that comes up with. I don't know. Regardless, I'm trying to decide. Now is the time to decide if I need to turn off here in Santa Rosa or stay on the interstate. I always go a few more weeks just hoping that I won't get caught in some traffic. It's not the biggest problem in the world. I can make up for a few hours sleep over time. Not easily, but it's doable. So I think it's about time for us to continue on, and go at least to the Encino turnoff, State Highway 3. The next opportunity after that is to go through Moriarty in Estancia, and then down to Willard, and then across. Those are really the two opportunities. So it really kind of depends. This construction at some point, and there's a reasonable chance they've already finished it, and the horrible hill that I-40 has to climb up reduces underpowered vehicles loaded down trucks to, you know, 20, 25, 30 miles an hour trying to get up out of it. Anyway. My turn. So now I'm kind of locked in. Switched over. I switched. You know, I winterized our swamp cooler. Not a tough thing at all. Although I do think in this coming year, when I get it going again, I'm going to go ahead. Get better stuff. About time to clean it up, paint it up again. Get the system running a little better. Some years I do, and others I don't. Pads that are on it, but the pads that have been on it for 8 or 9 years. I think it's about time to go ahead and do new pads. About the construction up here that really slows things down is they will not warn you that there might be a problem up there. They just flat won't do it. You know, there'll be signs, please stay in your lane. It's like, oh, you know, that's almost code for you're going to be stuck and we don't want to have drive-by shootings. I've had people really honk at me and get really upset when I'm like within a quarter mile of the turnoff. And it's like, guys, I'm going to take the turnoff. I'm not going to sit here for an hour waiting till I finally, if I stay in line, get up to the turnoff. You know, I'll get off on the shoulder and I'll drive the quarter mile down the shoulder just to get away from it. You know, you guys have heard that one before. Because I've been stuck on occasion that way. Oh. Getting the interesting guys who just kind of pull over the side of the road, turn on their blinkers, and go to sleep. And it's like, are these guys already kind of getting ready for the fact that the situation's not going to be pleasant, it's not going to go well? I went and did the my SCI end doc. So now I'm totally read in. To the stuff that that I'm going to be doing at work. And boy, the part about social media was really quite ominous. So they pretty much wanted you to every posting you do to social media, they want you to send them a copy. It's like, no, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to do that. So yeah, by and large, social media pretty much over. At least as long as I've got this job for the next few years or so. It's okay. I can write in other ways. You know, I'm not going to try to publish anything. But I can certainly write. And get prepared for my next opportunity. My dad called. He's like, so what, you're going to retire? He says, what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know. Of course, you have to understand that my dad worked for himself a lot, and therefore he had no pension. All he had was Social Security. When he thinks about pension, that's what he thinks about Social Security. He says, Dad, I've got a pension from the state, a nice one. You know, I'm not talking about that I was making, you know, $20,000 a year for 25 years. This is, I've done really well. It says that I've been very blessed. I acknowledge God on all levels for blessings that I've received. Some people say I go the lower board. It's like, I don't think you can go overboard with that. So because I don't know how much is him and how much of it's me, but I'm willing to say that it's all him. Oh. And we'll see what comes. Hoping the second coming comes kind of quickly, and that I don't really get to enjoy much of my pension, if any of it. This is going to end up just kind of going, well, you know, the state of New Mexico kind of disappeared, therefore, no more pension from them. I'm acting like I'm going to get a pension. But I'm not going to be surprised if I don't. But it gives us something to shoot for, and it's something that I think makes Lisa happy to a large extent. Again, people back in Joseph Smith's day were sure that the second coming was going to come within a handful of years. So, I hope for it coming soon. I don't plan for it for coming soon. So I plan that the political or administrative entity of New Mexico will continue on for a while longer, and that I'll get a fine pension out of it. Deadline, so I'm feeling pretty decent. There's long stretches of interstate and usually at this point you would see a lot of bright red lights indicating that the brakes are on. And I'm seeing a line of lights, but they just look like regular old lights. They don't look like they're stomping on their brakes or anything. So I'm feeling pretty decent here. Although I'm not looking to Highway 3 yet. I used to occasionally go all the way through Albuquerque, but then there was going to be quite a stretch of the big interchange between I-25 and I-40 that was going to have construction on it for a while, and so I stopped going that way. And I got the impression that, in spite of everything, either getting off at 3 to go to Encino, or at, or at Moriarty to go on into Estancia and then Willard and then into Mountain Air. It's probably probably the most effective. So we shall see what we shall see. Once we get up the hill, I don't think there's any more construction particularly. Las Vegas. This is the road you can actually take down to, if you want to, down to Pastura. And then from Pastura on to Vaughan. Looking pretty good. Moriarty's an hour away. Albuquerque's 40 miles beyond that. Time of year where sometimes it's a little dicey to take this road. Not that the road across Vaughan's all that great, but Klein's Corners is a lot worse, typically. And so you want to stay kind of on the south route. Go to Vaughan, then from Vaughan to Santa Rosa, and then from Santa Rosa on to Concarie. Probably the best road to take. Oh my gosh, this road's practically empty, which is interesting. Not exactly sure where to put that. Happy I'm getting about 35 miles to the gallon here, going at 75. And Sandy, which is kind of the name I finally settled on for my Mitsubishi Mirage, call it Sandy because I end up taking it through some pretty sandy places, and she's doing pretty decently that way. Nice. I see, though, a lot of trucks pulled over at the rest area here, which is the last place where you can kind of get off of the road. Before you kind of have to take the hill. We're not quite to Flying Sea, which is a travel center-ish place. Before, much rather just go to work than to try to work from home. Oh my gosh. That ended up being the biggest pain in the butt for an entire week. I was so ready to be done with that. It makes you look forward here. Now, today's October 31st, Halloween. I've got a full week off for Thanksgiving. And of course, just by nature of working for a university the way I do in New Mexico, I get a whole week off between Christmas and New Year's. All this coincides with, at least I got the whole week of Thanksgiving off too. Really kind of, so that's going to be nice. We'll have 9 days together without any real pressure to do much of anything. And, I like kind of keeping it that way as much as I can. I've always liked the idea of the staycation even before somebody had come up with that as a term. You know, just kind of like I took a week off and you go, oh yeah, where'd you guys go? What'd you do? And you go, nothing. I didn't do nothing. Now, sometimes I'll get bored and there's some projects I'll do around the house. My dad gave me an idea. I'm not really sure about it. Because Lisa and I, mostly me, I don't think Lisa was totally against it, but I was going to do I found these kind of almost Quonset hut kind of shelters. You can do anything you want to with it inside. It's structurally just a Quonset hut. And not bad at all. The price is pretty decent. I really need to put some more money into doing it. I'm not I'm not a billion percent excited because, you know, it's going to end up being a thing that needs to be heated and cooled, and it's just like doubling the size of the house, utilities-wise, and I don't know how I feel about that. I think Lisa's kind of cooled off to the idea because even though it would give Matt a different place to be, one of Lisa's really big things was she wanted to go ahead and chew up the second bedroom, honestly, and expand the kitchen and put a shower in the second room. Kind of split it up that way. And now that she's decided to go ahead and just pay somebody to do this is Milagro. Yeah. Things are looking good at Milagro. $3.68. Some people are talking about $10. It's like, come on, guys, don't scare us like that. Another really big reason why I have the vehicle I have, and I try to treat it really as kindly as I can. I need this thing to last a few 100,000 miles, at least I need it to go at least for a few more years. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be one of those things of, so when are you going to decide to quit your job and do something else? It's like, well, can I be honest? I think it might have a lot to do with the car. I'm not really prepared to pay another $7,000 to get another car like this. So I may be gauging my whole end of work life time. It might be based more on how the car is doing than anything else. And, you know, it's like, oh, interesting way to make decisions in your life. And you go, well, can I be honest? I don't think I've ever done it to this level, but I have done it that way. You know, I'm not particularly a signs guy, but certainly ended up being kind of a situation at the very end of my school teaching at San Juan. The big red dot, my first really energy efficient vehicle, started having some weird transmission issues. Wouldn't stay in gear for a standard. And it was like the whole thing of, well, you probably need a clutch, you probably need this, probably need that, and it was going to be, you know, several hundred dollars sunk into just trying to keep this thing kind of going. And the whole thing was, well, it's kind of old to begin with, and it had over 200,000 miles on it. And definitely... let's go ahead and keep going. I don't see any particular problems going up the hill. I can see the hill right here in front of me. And no backed up traffic stuff. I think they got it working. I think they got it fixed. So therefore, we'll probably go on to Moriarty. Which is great. Things I look forward to. Here's the sad part. The price of my breakfast burritos went from $2.99 up to like $3. I don't know, I think I put another 20 cents on it, like $3.19. It's like, oh man. Inflation's hitting everything. Regardless, I'm still going to do my breakfast burritos occasionally. Get something. I don't know if it's going to be fruit or something else to eat. I've been, after the deli closes there in Socorro, they'll start boxing up all the things, and get everything usually at half price, and it's like, wow, that's fantastic. So I take advantage of that quite a bit. Already got it set up so that everybody can go and get appointments at the temple. Me and Elder Nemro, Sam, and Jelaine, we're all gonna meet up Tuesday night at the temple and go through a session together. Really wonderful. I like that a lot. All that brings to mind, my dad called. He was trying to get things together to go ahead and make some contribution to Sam's mission. Whatever reason, and I hope to do something. You know, I had done something about the CES letter and my feelings about everything around that. Dad was showing a lot of concern because now among my children, of the six, there are two who really kind of just walked away from the church. Shayna went way off the deep end. Sam, I mean, Caleb, not so much so, but to be honest, he's not interested in the church at all. And but neither one of them had been on missions. Shayna had talked about going on a mission, even started kind of getting together stuff to go, but it didn't happen. I don't want to really talk about Shayna for what I think her motivations are for a lot of things. Caleb was always quite influenced by Shayna. And so I can't say that it was surprising. I took some pains to say Shayna's not a good example of a lot of things. I said you really shouldn't put a lot of stock in it. And I don't think he does. But it's neither here nor there. But Dad was really far more concerned with the people who had went on missions, taught the gospel, and had gotten married in the temple, and then made the great decision that they didn't really believe any of this stuff. You know, and I'm like, hey man, since you sure have made a lot of commitments to all of a sudden decide that you don't care about church or Joseph Smith or the Book of Mormon or frankly a lot of them have just decided that they're not interested in God, and you're going, well, and all of us look at each other and go, do we think there's something we did wrong? And I come back and I say, I don't think anything got done wrong. So they're just choosing to follow other influences. I don't think much of them. I say, oh, well, we got to be respectful. And you go, yeah. You can say that, and I'll sit there and go, yeah, I'm not really all that respectful. Maybe it comes from me and Shayna, and one of my big things that she was just playing some games. And that all these things were supposed to equate into something that she desired that she wasn't willing to really work for. My concern that was the main motivator. And it's like, no, I'm not going that way. You know, aren't you going to respect me? And you go, no. I'm not going to respect these decisions. But you have to. The society says you have to respect these things. And you go, no, I don't. Well, then you're a bigot and you're a bad person. You go, okay, you can call me whatever you like. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change things. And kind of just the basic anger of me not behaving the way I was supposed to. Of course, you know, I finally went down and he said, you know what? I don't know if I abused you or not, but if you feel like I did, I'm sorry. And she said, oh, I forgave you a long time ago. But that doesn't make anything better about the present circumstances. And it's like, I was just wanting to make sure that I had expressed my apologies for the past. I said, I'm not interested. And it was just more like of a backing off, saying, I did what I came here to do. Thank you for your expressions of forgiveness. Thank you. And backing away. But it's harder, I think, for people who felt like that they had done, I don't want to say a better job, but that they had really made sure that their kids did the things that were supposed to make sure no chair was empty. I've always had problems with a kid. So, you know, I wasn't going to be surprised if it came back. It's like, well, you're missing somebody. And you go, yeah. Been missing somebody for quite some time. Well, what are you doing about it? And you go, frankly, I'm kind of steering clear of her. You can't do that. Going, I, it's like I've said on these things before, all these ensign families where they're all a bunch of tow-headed, beautiful people, you know, and they have their first big family reunion. There's mom and dad in the middle, and there's all of their children, you know. They're all buried and sealed in the temple. They're all returned missionaries. And all already have 50 grandchildren out of their children and their spouses, and how beautiful they all look, and how wonderful it all seems to be, you know, and they all dress like, you know, they're all temple workers, and you're going, oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that there are such families. Now, my family's not one of those sorts, and I think there's plenty more, and it's like, it's not that big of a deal. The sad part is when you've worked so hard, so diligently, and it's given every indication that this is what's happening. Are all these beautiful people, you know, welded together in a never-ending chain of exaltation? And to be honest, that really is kind of a, at least now, it seems like it's becoming this huge fantasy. That very few families end up being like that. So, you know, do you cherish those that do? And you go, yeah, cherish them. It's beautiful. And you go, but don't rag on those who don't have it. I said, because how much can you twist your arm of your children to behave a certain way? How can you do this and that, and this and that? You can say that it's because your family didn't go out to Lake Powell often enough and, you know, recreate with the fantastic morning general authority grade devotional with everybody, you know, drinking hot cocoa and stuff like that, you know, and you're going, well, you just didn't do it right. And you're going, okay. I said, you won't mind if when some of your family starts falling apart that I'm not gonna give you crap. I'm not gonna tell you where you screwed up. I'm not gonna do that because I don't know. And I'm not sure where I went wrong, and I'm not sure if I even really did go wrong. It may have just been, you know, this was what that soul was doing. How those people feel. Well, here we are at Klein's Corners. We've gone through all the tricky parts of construction. Now, this is where, when it gets really cold and conditions get snowy and weird, Klein's Corners is the place you want to avoid. So, those are the right times to decide that you're going to take the road through Vaughn. Not fantastically better, but not with so many problems. Luckily, I don't make the trip very often, you know. One time coming, one time going is really when I would have problems. And to be honest, it doesn't really... You may have this once or twice a season at best that you're actually on the road and having to deal with the issues of it all. Talk this guy into getting out of the left-hand lane. Thank you. Then we'll start coming down the other side into... Moriarty. It's a Estancia Valley as far as I'm aware. You pretty much take Estancia Valley all the way to Mountaineer, and then from Mountaineer down into the crash site. Marvelous stuff. So yeah, you know, you don't want to get on to these people because it's like, yes, you know what? It says too many people who think that they kind of had a beat on things, which is great. It's great. I hope they do. But when it really comes down to it, it's like, you know what? It really doesn't have to do with, you know, having all these wonderful, fun experiences with your family. It doesn't have to do with taking them to Nauvoo in this, you know, in the summertime, or going to the Sacred Grove. Not saying these things can't help, but I'm not saying that they're an inoculant against apostasy. You can spend all the time and the money that you want to. And there are no guarantees. There really aren't. Even the people who say, you know, this is how we did it. And it's saying, you know, if you would have taken a few more of those trips, you know, it would have gone better. You go, okay. Well, regardless. So, yeah, because I don't get on to people for their problems. I often wonder if I want Dad to try to contact Shayna on some level and get a relationship with her and say, you know, Shayna, Dad really was the wellspring of our conversion to Jesus Christ. You you know, and I said, I'm not saying he's God's gift to any of this stuff. He says, but you know what? He hung in there. He hung in there. Even when he wasn't really sure. I think there was a lot of times when he wasn't really sure about any of this stuff. And that you can't really just throw this stuff. This is multi-generational stuff. This says we are honoring parents and grandparents and great-grandparents in striving to come closer to God, striving to find a greater understanding of this. It says, and we feel like that everything we ever taught you, everything we tried to give to you, that you just kind of threw it aside. And that's hard because over time it's come to mean so much to us. Not saying that we were fantastic parents, not saying that we don't have neurological problems, not saying that we're just trying to get through life, you know? But our assurance that these things and putting your faith in these things help. They've helped us. They helped my father. They helped my mother. They helped my stepmother. It says, don't cavalierly throw them away. And think that we're all idiots and boobs. So, you know, we're not professors, you know, we're not great academics or theologians, but I'm sorry, I've got intelligent parents. And in a lot of ways, I've been blessed with those, with that kind of thing. So I hope you don't look at us and say, look how stupid they are. Look at how foolish they are. You're going, I don't think any of us approach this as fools. I don't think we all put our brains in our back pockets, our experiences and what we've seen and what we've heard and what we've learned. I don't think we put those in our back pockets and ignored them when it comes to God and religion. It's you know, going to be who you are. For my part, I would, sometimes I just want to grab you and just shake you and say, don't you see what we've seen? Didn't you believe what we taught you. Regardless, okay. So there's that kind of take on the whole thing. From a lot of us of our preceding generation, my dad's family, me and my brother and our cousins' families, were saddened by those of you who, I don't know, something got in the water. I don't know if something fell apart in 1990. And those of us who are fortunate enough to have become fully formed adults before 1990, even though we had our struggles, we pulled through them, still clinging to our understanding and our knowledge and our testimony of Jesus Christ and His restored gospel. I don't know what happened after that. I don't know how, you know, I'm grateful for the kids who are hanging with the gospel among our children. I'm grateful. Anyway, so, and it's hard to see our younger cousins, it's hard to see our children or children coming on that might not have anything to do with the church. And it pains us greatly. It pains us greatly because of all the blessings that, and it pains me for all the blessings that I've received that I know come from Christ. And all I can do is just weep at His feet and cry gratitude for His loving kindness towards me. I've already told, and I'll probably tell again. Hopefully not too terribly embellished. You know, over time you tend to try to, you know, you clean up the stories a little bit. I hope not to do that in these sorts of relationships. How much my wandering around was steered by Christ. How grateful I am for Him. Coming into Moriarty. So here in 3 miles I'll get off the interstate. Not that Sunday nights are any kind of problem. except when they decide that's when they're going to do the construction on the interchanges, and I have to be on side roads for, it seems like, forever. Oh. Well, regardless. Time to hit the back roads now. Oh. I still got about an hour of driving, but I think I might go ahead and just listen to something or watch something. Listen mostly. So, I'm going to go ahead and let this thing go. Turn it off. And it's only 7:39. It's great. Anyway, so. Okay. Let's go ahead and finish that up. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.